This is a replay of Monday Night Trivia on Monday, October 16th on WGN Radio. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It is Monday night, so if you're hearing this on Friday night, please don't call. It's a replay. But if it's Monday night, the 16th of October, 2023, then Monday night trivia begins right now. Time is right. All right, so I've got a new question to throw out since you got the last one at the end of the show last week. So here's your new one. For 10 years, this syndicated show routinely beat out local television news in the ratings. What show? All right, it's been a while ago. Yes, believe me, otherwise it would be easily searchable. But for 10 years, and I'd say, well, certainly in your lifetime, I would think. Unless you're very young, but I would think in your lifetime. So, yeah, 10 whole years. Yeah, well, when you see television news, it isn't so extraordinary after all. But I don't know. All right, so what's the show? Now, other than that, we have Bumper Stumpers, and they have a theme. Yeah, it's a little arcane. It's out there, but I think somebody might get it. I know somebody will get some of the songs. Hope so, anyway. And if you don't know my question, and you don't know my bumpers, and you don't like any of that, you can have your own category, because everybody knows something about something. It's not even possible that there's not some area of knowledge you don't just ace. So whatever it is, we have a question for you. All you got to do is tell us what you want. So 888-876-5593-8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. That's the number that will do it to it. And we're going to kick it off with John in Illinois tonight. Welcome to WGN Radio, John.
You're welcome, Neil. I enjoy your show.
Well, thank you. So you're going to do charts, huh?
Yeah, I would like to.
Okay, and you want this week in 1966?
Yeah, it would be fine.
All right. Well, it's your choice. Number one. Yeah. Number one. Reach Out, I'll Be There.
Reach Out, Four Tops.
Absolutely. Number two, 96 Tears.
Question mark and the Mysterians.
Yeah. Number three, Last Train to Clarksville.
Monkeys.
Yeah. Number four, Cherish.
The Association.
Number five, Psychotic Reaction.
The Count Five.
Yeah. Number six, Walk Away, Renee.
Left Bank.
Yeah. Six. Six, that was six. Seven, Poor Side of Town.
Johnny Rivers.
Yeah. Number eight, What Becomes of the Brokenhearted?
Broken.
Yeah. Who Have Love That's Now Departed? I know I've got to find some kind of peace of mind, girl.
I'm not going to get that one.
Oh, Jimmy Ruffin. That's all right.
Okay.
Number nine, Dandy.
Herman's Hermits.
Yes, and number 10, C.C. Rider. And everybody and their brother did this song, but tell you the truth, I didn't realize this group did, but they got to number 10 this week in 1966 with their version of C.C. Rider. They were a British group.
A British group, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That one, I don't think I'm going to get that one.
Well, you don't have to because you've already won. You got 80%, and that's good enough for me. So you are a winner, but it was Eric Burdon and the Animals.
Okay, thank you.
All right, well, hang on. We'll confirm that address, and thanks for calling, John.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. So there you have it. It's just that easy, and you can do it, too. There's something you know about. I don't care what it is. It can be advertising slogans. It can be charts. It can be lyrics. It can have nothing to do with entertainment. Well, we're going to prove that with Don from Beloit. He likes World War II planes, which can be entertaining depending on how you look at it, but not for the people who were there at the time. All right, so that's exactly where we'll pick it up. Three big hours tonight of Monday Night Trivia. Again, emphasis on Monday Night Trivia. So if you're listening on Friday night, it's a replay. But if it's Monday night, your participation is urged. So again, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. But who were they? 888-876-5593. It's pretty easy, actually. I expect a winner on that one. And I don't expect anybody to know the theme because you need a few songs before you're going to figure that out. But at least maybe the artist. So WGN Radio is Monday Night Trivia. I'm Raleigh James. And 888-876-5593 is your ticket in. And I hope you will call. So Don in Beloit always wants his World War II questions. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, happy Monday, everybody.
Yes, indeed, it is.
Could you repeat it? 10 years this TV show beat out all other shows?
No, for 10 years, this syndicated show routinely beat out local television news in the ratings.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mike Douglas.
No, that's interesting. No.
Gunsmoke?
No. I don't think anybody was running news during the hours Gunsmoke
right,
was on.
I'm with you.
To beat out, it has to be on at the same time.
Yeah. I can't think of that talk show guy, but I think it's that talk show guy. I can't think of...
Well, I can't...
Carson?
No.
All right. Did you get my email about Johnny D? Yeah, like after the show left off on mm-hmm. Thursday, I think I found Johnny D's grandfather's battalion. I think.
Oh, maybe I didn't. Maybe I didn't get that. You found the battalion. All right, call me tomorrow night and let's talk about that.
No, well, it's in an email, but it's very easy. It's like you just look for the 37th Division, and there was many machine gun battalions in all of the divisions, but especially that one. And this was all Ohio. That's why I think it's the right one, because it was an Ohio National Guard that became the 37th Division.
Like I say,
and
we'll,
I think he
we'll
was,
discuss it tomorrow was, night.
Okay, yep.
All right.
Give me your best shot at a World War II airplane, please.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the Spitfire. You remember the Spitfire.
I love it.
manufactured by Vickers Armstrong and designed by Supermarine. Who coined the nickname and what was the inspiration?
The Spitfire.
Yeah, why they call it the Spitfire?
Was a float plane. It won all kinds of awards for Supermarine long before the war. Great Snyder Cup. I'm trying to think of the guy's name that designed it. So you're saying who?
The guy who designed it hated the nickname. He did not come up with
it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. He died right before the outbreak of the war, so I think, too. But he put all of his life, Mitchell put all of his life into
yes,
making the Spitfire a classic. Everybody knew the war was coming.
Right. You're right. It was R.J. Mitchell, but he hated this nickname. So who coined it, and what was the inspiration? Hard to believe I might have you here. All right.
I'm going to guess it was kids, like the British people. I don't know. I have no idea.
The nickname was Sir Robert McLean came up with it, and he named it after his daughter's nickname because his daughter was hard to handle. He called her a Spitfire.
Yes.
Sir Robert McLean.
Okay.
All right.
And listen, Riley, you have a great show. We'll talk to you this week.
Okay, good. I'll look forward to it. Thanks. Appreciate it. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And I said it was easy, and I believe Johnny D knew right away, and I'll bet he's right. So Johnny D, who did that bumper?
Yes, hello, Riley. I'll tell you that in a second here. I'm winding down here 24 seconds. Dallas wins 20-17 against the San Diego Chargers. But Monday Night Football. All right?
Well, good. Very nice.
Anyhow, close game.
Exciting.
I'll tell you, one other thing. I was listening to Don Corleone. Don from Beloit. He's very proficient at doing the web searches on everything, huh? Because I didn't do anything.
Well, you did go to where I told you to go, and you saw your granddad's grave.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. I did see that. But other than that, I forgot to write down what was on it, so I couldn't do that search like that. You know what I mean? With the CO and this and that.
I'll try to send you a link. I'll try to send you a link.
Or whatever.
All right.
Question mark and the Mysterians did that last bumper song.
They absolutely did. It was their first single, 1966, on Cameo.
The reason I knew that.
I don't know. You specialize in bad records? What do you think?
No, because I'm listening to them singing, and I'm listening to the instruments, and it's very similar to Too Many Teardrops for One, huh?
Well, sure. No, everything they did was similar to 96 Tears. That was the problem with the group.
I know. Well, then I'm thinking, man, that's got to be question mark and Mysterians because nobody else sounded like that, that I knew of.
And thank God for that.
So I win.
You do. You don't even need a hominin question.
You don't even have to do a hominin or anything.
That's right. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. We'll confirm that address. You absolutely are a winner. All right. So I'm sure Johnny D knows the address, but just in case. All right. Now, we're going to get to the Beatles here. I see Barry in New Hampshire wants his Beatles question. And so happens that just earlier tonight, I ran across it. Yeah, I would normally not even know of this question, but Barry in New Hampshire, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Wally.
How's it going?
All right. Well, last week you got me, so let's see if you can get me again.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. This is Beatles, although it is post-Beatles in a way. John Lennon, of course, ruffled a lot of feathers when he said he wasn't interested in what the other Beatles were doing. And despite that, he said he wasn't callous about it. Now, what was interesting is that initially he had a quote talking about Paul's album, McCartney 2, saying it was just depressing and sad. But later, he kind of had a different thought. In fact, he had publicly said, after I said it was depressing and sad, I realized I hadn't listened to the whole damn thing. And the reason that he came up with that is he said, I heard one track, which I thought was a good piece of work. And then I heard something else that was, he was depressed. But I don't follow him. All right, so what one track on McCartney 2 did John Lennon proclaim as a good piece of work?
Coming Up?
Yes, absolutely right.
Oh, wow.
You are a winner. I wouldn't know Coming Up if I fell over it, but nonetheless, John decided that he'd make that exception. But overall, he was certainly, he says he wasn't callous, but he certainly wasn't kind. All right, so hang on, you're a winner. That's absolutely right. All right.
Can I put in a request?
What?
Can I put in a request?
For tomorrow, what do you want to hear?
The person that did the Peter the Meter Reader and all that, you said that she had one about the internet or something?
Oh, yeah, 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 absolutely. You're talking about the gal who did the Telephone Man, Mary Wilson.
Yeah.
Mary Wilson, yeah. She did, right before she died, she had done one about that. So you want me to find the internet song? I will. I'm sure I've got it here.
Perfect.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Raleigh. See you next week.
Yeah, yeah. And she, of course, we'll have Barry hang on here, though I think Johnny D, that John, not Johnny D, but John, has the address. But just in case, we'll have him hold on. All right. So Jefferson in Northwest Chicago is going to take a guess on that TV show that for 10 years beat out TV News. Andrew wants a soap opera question. Ah, Andrew's back. All right, Andrew. John in Covington wants 60s TV. And there's two, count them, two lines available for you. 888-876-5593. That's 8888-RALEIGH on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, recorded in 1958, unreleased at the time, though, a group had a lot of hits. So who are they? 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. So I have a question, and John says, explain this better. As I say, for 10 years, this syndicated show routinely beat out local television news in the ratings. Now, in order to beat out local television news, it had to be on at the same time that local television news was on. So, therefore, when you're guessing, if you've picked a time of day that the show ran that local television news wouldn't, well, probably that's not your best guess. So, all right, yeah, they competed. And in the 70s in particular, that's this show really popped up in the early 70s. And just the 70s, man, it was just big. But as recent as 10 years ago, it was still on the air in Detroit. Actually, it was back. But nonetheless, there are places where it's on the air to this day. But I'll tell you what, man, those 70 years, TV news didn't have a chance in some markets. So what's the show? 888-876-5593. So Mike in Rockford, welcome back to WGN.
Hey, how are you?
All right, how about yourself?
Hey, I got a couple guesses. I might be way off the wall. I was going to say 60 Minutes
nope.
or Saturday Night Live Weekend Update.
Nope. This would
not
be,
even close.
Not even close, because, again, when I say local television news, we're really talking Monday through
Friday. Yeah, but like
Monday through Friday.
Kind of like a Sunday evening with all the other news on, wasn't
it? Yeah, well, no, this is 5 nights a week.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand your question.
Well, yeah, well, now you do, so think about it and call me back.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Have a great night.
You
Bye-bye.
Too. All right. So, yes, that's my fault. And, yes, John let me know unceremoniously that was my fault. I didn't explain the question well enough. Well, all right. Now you know. So let's see if Jefferson in Northwest Chicago wants to change his guess. What do you think, Jefferson?
Well, we learned a little bit more in the last 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
I'm going to continue to assume that you meant that the 10 p.m. newscast, so I'm going to stick with either All in the Family or Leave it to Beaver.
Neither, and don't assume.
I know. Well, I mean,
don't assume.
Assume to some degree. Right?
Well, I'm telling you on this one.
I know what syndicated is, and I know what local news is. So.
Right, yes, absolutely. Well, it is syndicated. There's no doubt about it. But it could also be considered to be a franchise.
Well, I've never heard franchise used in the term of a television program.
Actually, you have, and when this comes up, I'll explain how you have.
Fair enough.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Have a good night.
All right, so 888-876-5593. Yeah, I would think that franchise would give it away. Andrew in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio. Ah, no, let's see. What did I do? I did something completely wrong here. This is my fault. So let me see what it is. Now I can talk to Andrew, I hope. Are you there, Andrew?
I am. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear. How's it going?
Pretty good. Actually, I've been listening to you regularly. I am an addict, and I this is helping me, recovering addict, and this is actually helping me listening to you every night.
Oh.
It's a kind of a structure, a routine. So, I'm always listening.
Well, I'm glad to be part of your routine.
No problem. First of all, for that blanket question you're giving everybody, for a split second, initially I thought you were talking about Dick Cavett.
Nope.
I'm guessing it would be along the lines of a musical entertainment type of variety show?
I wouldn't guess that.
Okay.
I won't rule it out completely, because that rules out so many different things. But I will say that I wouldn't characterize it as that.
Can you at least give us like the genre?
No.
Okay, fine. Well, I'll guess on that after my soap opera question.
All right, you'll know it. This show is responsible for featuring the first major lesbian character on a soap opera.
Probably On My Children.
Yes, and who was the character?
It's kind of a trick question. The first would be Devon Shepherd, and later Bianca Montgomery.
Right, Bianca was the one they really highlighted. You're absolutely right. All right, well, we have a winner. Andrew, good to hear from you. Don't go away. All right, so.
Wait.
Yeah.
The other question?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see. How many guesses do I get? Probably five?
You get six.
Oh, thank you. Let's see. They're kind of random. How about The Gong Show? Is that back?
It is not The Gong Show.
Damn it. syndicated for 10 years. Wow, that's...
Oh, it was syndicated a lot more than 10 years, but for 10 years,
it
beat local TV news.
God, and in the early 70s.
And to me, it says more about local TV news than the show, but just saying.
That's cute. as a matter of fact, Jesse from All My Children was on it. It's like a dance show with a lot of African American entertainers. What was it called?
I don't know, but that's not it.
Yeah, that would be a pretty long title. Actually, can I just call back later? Once yeah.
Well, actually, you've already won tonight, so don't worry about it. Take your win.
I like winning, though. Okay, fine.
All right, hang on. Don't go away. All right, so Andrew was absolutely right. He knew Bianca, who, of course, was Erica Kane's daughter. And, yes, she was certainly the major player on All My Children. So 888-876-5593. Let's see. Margie in Milwaukee is going to take a guess. What do you think, Margie?
Well, this may sound ridiculous, but they were on at Newstime when I was growing up. One was Sesame Street and then Muppets.
Both good answers, but not right. I'm not sure they actually took ratings on non-commercial shows. So
okay.
They should have. All right. Thanks, Margie. Appreciate it. Yeah, they didn't used to on radio, but now in recent years they have, for better or worse. So Gary in Austin wants a guess on that as well. What do you think, Gary?
I think it might be PM Magazine.
Brilliant guess, but not right.
Oh, wow, because they were on, you know, right around.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, generally a lot of, you know, where I live, they came on right after the, I think it was the 6 o'clock news or
right.
something. And I know they were around for a long time, so that was my guess on that.
No, that's good. And that's a perfect example, by the way, of a franchise show, something that involved local hosts in each market.
And my other guess could be Bowling for Dollars, but I don't think
we have a winner. That
oh,
is it.
Wow. Oh,
yes,
wow. Okay.
That is it. Bowling for Dollars for 10 years routinely beat out local television news. And it is a franchise show in that it would have a local host. And usually
yeah.
it was the, you know, the otherwise the weatherman or the sports guy or usually.
I think we had the sports guy
yeah,
doing
yeah.
ours.
It usually was, you know, somebody they drug out of the news department kicking and screaming. And they would partner with AMC or Brunswick, and they put a couple of lanes in the studio, so you know, they didn't actually have to go to a bowling alley. But they would do all five shows in one day. And
yeah.
most of these hosts, particularly when it was the kiddie show host that they drafted for this, most yeah. of these hosts liked to drink. And so I made it a hobby to watch the Friday shows coast to coast. Because invariably, half of these guys were bouncing off the wall by the Friday show.
Well, so. That would be fun to watch. Yeah. I don't think I ever actually watched Bowling for Dollars. I was generally working in those hours of the day, so I never saw it. But I certainly heard all sorts of jokes about it.
Well,
so.
The other thing is they should have told all the hosts, don't ask a question to which you don't know the answer, kind of like they tell lawyers when they're in trials. Never do that.
Yeah.
And so here, well, I'll never forget, it was St. Louis that I was watching. And St. Louis is a buttoned-up tight kind of town. And this is the early 70s when we weren't yet very permissive. And here is this woman who is... I thought she was going to give birth during the show. She is obviously 9 months pregnant. And so the format is, the first thing he says is, who would you like to say hello to back home? And she said, I want to say hello to my boyfriend, Bob. And oh, God. You know, the guy barely recovered with this. And of course, yeah. you know, then you had the pin pal at home and all that. I mean, it was very, very, it's hard to believe that this show was big, but for 10 years, it beat out local TV news. And it was a strip show. So Monday through Friday. And, you know, usually it's the station that didn't have television news or was, you know, dead last until that would run
yeah.
this. And invariably in these markets, it just took off for a decade. So you're absolutely
yeah.
right.
Yeah, I mean, I remember people talking about it and joking about it and all sorts of stuff back
yeah.
then.
Yeah, and I think the last station that I knew that carried it was about 10 years ago. Somebody in Detroit was carrying it, but I'll have to look that up because that's off the top of my head. But somebody was. All right, well, you're a winner.
Okay, great.
All right, don't go away.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Absolutely. So Gary is absolutely right. Bowling for Dollars, that was it. And yes, that would be a franchise show in that, you know, you're buying the, you know, all of the pieces around it, but you're supplying your local host. And interestingly, the guy who started Romper Room, which was you know, probably the biggest of the franchise shows like that, is the guy who started Bowling for Dollars. So, yeah, all you wanted to know about Bowling for Dollars and didn't care to. But, yeah, it was Bert Claster, and he created Romper Room, and then it became Claster Television. And I think I'm going to have to look, but I'm pretty sure it was a station in Detroit, like I say, that about 10 years ago, you know, was relaunching Bowling for Dollars. And the other thing is that it had music, and one of the things that it would play, of course, you know, I say of course, because when you hear the title, you'll know, Keep the Ball Rolling. But they didn't play the Jay and the Techniques version. They played the Al Hurt version of Keep the Ball Rolling. Yeah, oh well. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh, right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, so who are they? And maybe a theme is starting to appear. I don't know. Well, we've got two more hours for you you to take a guess on that. But if you know who it is, even better. All right, Connor is a first-time caller, and he is in Janesville, Wisconsin. So, Connor, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
You want 1991. Now, are we going to do charts, or do you want me to just play you an audio?
Oh, just play me an audio. You
know, all right. All right. So 1991, huh? Well, let's see how you do with this. Now, wait a minute. Let me first get rid of the last thing and then go for 1991 for sure.
All right.
No strain. I only want to get exposure like you do. The finer things. I offer you my company, girl. You don't need no sympathy. You just need someone who cares.
Whatever you want.
What do you think?
Oh, that's a tricky one. I think I wasted my call.
Oh, no. Well, now, let me ask you. You know, of course, for me, everything always goes to R&B, whether it should or not.
Yeah.
Are you more of a pop fan?
I like rock, maybe. Pop, I could
all right, rock, huh? All right, well, hang on. You got to hang on through the news here. But if you do, I'll come up with something that's definitely in the rock vein for you. Don't go away. And by the way, that was Tony, whatever you want. All right.
Tony.
Yeah, don't go away. All right, and that's where we'll pick it up next hour. We have two more hours of music trivia. If you get a busy signal, just wait for somebody to hang up, and it will be your turn. You'll get in on WGN Radio.
Boom, boom, boom.
Tell you about Babalu's getting married.
What you say?
Oh, Babalu's getting married.
That you say?
Yeah, the church bells ringing. All the people are singing.
Hi, hi.
Yeah, the bride is waiting.
Wait.
Yeah, the more celebrating.
So gay.
But he ain't got the money.
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. Well, there's your bumper stumper, indeed, and that would be 1959 on the Hollywood label. What does it have in common with everything else we've been playing? But even if you just know who did it, you're a winner. Now, we're talking to Connor. He's a first-time caller from Janesville, Wisconsin, and we have a rock record for him. So are you still with us?
With us?
Yes.
Well, I'm still with you.
All right. So I picked out an undeniably big 1991 rock record. You'll get it right away.
Okay.
You ready? All right.
I'm so ready.
All right. So let's see how you do with this.
Okay. Guns N' Roses.
It is Guns N' Roses. And what's the song?
You Could Be Mine.
Absolutely right.
Soundtrack.
Absolutely right. Released in June of 1991 on the Use Your Illusion albums and also in Terminator 2. I told you you'd be a winner. Hang on. We'll get your address and be sure to call me again.
Thank you.
All right. Don't go away,
all
Connor.
Right.
All right. So absolutely. Connor knows his Guns N' Roses. Yeah, I'll never forget it. Years ago when Jeff Fenholt said, "You don't need Guns N' Roses when you got God and Moses," on one of those religious shows. It was hilarious. So nonetheless, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, you need another question, and I've got one for you. And here we are. Sales of this have been huge for centuries, but it wasn't until the 1930s that it was first sold in what was considered to be a thoroughly novel way. Now, today, it's more commonly sold that way than in any other way, but there's a hearty debate on whether it's better. All right, so what are we talking about? Sales for centuries. And how was it sold in the 1930s that raised eyebrows? So there you have it. Yes, a two-parter. Either part will cause you to win. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, now, if you don't know my bumper stumpers and if you don't like my question, well, you can have your own category, and we prove every week sky is the limit on that. And we will do that right now with Eric in Decatur. How's it going, Eric?
Oh, hello, Raleigh. Good evening. How you doing this evening?
I can't complain. How about yourself?
Oh, surviving. On another night that's not trivia, I'll call you back and I'll tell you some things about my health, which I know you don't mind, but not tonight. For tonight, okay. First of all, I really thought I had you on that. The one you just said is hard. I don't have a clue. But just for a second on your first question about the syndicated show that beat the news and everything, and then
yeah,
you said the time frame,
yeah,
and then you said it was a franchise, I thought I had it. Here in Central Illinois in the early 70s, the public network would run Star Trek. And you got to remember, that was before there was any other Star Trek. The original show got, like, canceled in 67. And early 70s, everybody, that was before all the other Star Treks, all the movies. And, oh, my God, everybody watched it.
Well,
everybody I knew watched that instead of the news.
Well, but keep...
And it was a franchise.
Yes, but keep this in mind. It wouldn't have counted because they did not rate non-commercial stations. So even though it might have been a solid number one, they do now, but they didn't then. And
yeah, it was...
Yeah, I always used to say that they should, because I knew in many markets where, you know, my show was supposedly number one. I said, yeah, second to public radio. But now they do, and you're seeing a lot of public stations do well.
If you listen to public radio now, I don't think you have a brain. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll tell you what it's good for, especially on the weekends. Many of these public stations will have local shows where somebody might do an all-obscure R&B oldie show or something. You know, you find...
Oh, yeah.
All sorts of, and the other thing I used to love
music.
was their game shows, you know, like wait, don't tell me, you know, all those kind of things that that were just terrific little game shows. So I'm not talking about the content of their politics or anything, but the weekend shows were great.
As long as it's not news, though.
Well, right, yeah. Yeah,
I remember listening to Prairie Home Companion every Saturday on the public
radio. Absolutely, that's right. I'd listen to that. No, I don't want to hear None Things Considered either. But anyway, yeah.
Right.
All right, so we're going to do 1969. Are we going to do this week in 1969?
It's totally
up to you when you want it. You get to pick your
all right.
week, your
well,
week, month.
Do it my birthday week. How about August, the first week of, I was born August 5th, the first week of August of 69.
Do you know that more people were born in August than any other month?
Yes, and do the math, because you go back 8 months, you're Christmas time.
Right. Yeah,
it's that Christmas sex.
Yeah, there you have it. All right, so let's do your birthday week. And
sure.
In 1960,
see how far I can go.
Oh, 1969, a dreadful week for several reasons. Example number one would be, number one, in the year 2525.
Oh, my goodness, and I love that song. I just, Zager and Evans, yep.
You know, every time I heard it, I thought, you know, this would be like if 99 bottles of beer on the wall hit the charts. It's a beer drinking song, but it certainly did well. Okay, number two, Crystal Blue Persuasion.
Oh, Tommy James and the Shondells.
Yeah, number three, Honky Tonk Woman.
The Rolling Stones.
Yes. Yep. Number four, What Does It Take to Win Your Love?
Oh, come on.
For me. Yeah, you know this. It's got a really long intro. Yeah, I always say you could read the license renewal over the intro of this.
Junior Walker?
Yes,
Junior
absolutely. Walker? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now it goes downhill from here. Number five, I'm sorry to say, Sweet Caroline.
Oh, Neil Diamond.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Number six, Ruby Don't Take Your Love to Town.
Oh, yeah. I love Kenny Rogers in the first edition.
Yes, yes. They redid it. It was originally Johnny Darrell, and Mel Tillis wrote it. Number seven.
Oh, I didn't know that.
A Boy Named Sue.
Oh, yeah. Performed live at San Quentin. Johnny Cash.
Absolutely. Yep. A Shel Silverstein classic. Number eight. My Sharia Moore.
Oh, Little Stevie Wonder.
Yes, lovely as a summer day, though he wasn't little then. He was already asserting his right, saying, hey, I want to produce some of these. And Barry was saying, no, I don't think so. Well, a couple of years later, it came to a head, and Stevie got his way. All right, number nine.
It's a good thing for all of us.
Yes.
A good thing for all of us that he did. But
I agree totally. Yeah, but man, I'll tell you, he had to get Barry kicking and screaming to agree to that. Number nine, Put a Little Love in Your Heart.
Oh, that would be Jackie DeShannon.
Yes. And number 10, Baby, I Love You. Oh, God.
Baby, I Love You.
On the Steed label, so you know Jeff Berry's involved in it somehow.
Baby, I Love You.
CanCon, Canadian content for this one.
I'm going to get Andy Kim?
Absolutely.
Let's see how far I can go.
All right. Number 11, Spinning Wheel.
Oh, Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Number 12, Part 1, Mother Popcorn.
Oh, you might have me on this.
Well, come on. If it's called Mother Popcorn, who would it have to be?
Mother Popcorn.
You got to have a mother for me.
Oh, no, the only one I know, and I know it's not that song, it's not the song called Popcorn, because that came later.
Mm.
But you might have me, I think that's where that. Go ahead, Raleigh. I don't think I'm going to guess that one.
James Brown. On King.
Can we try any more? Can we keep going?
Number 13, I never would have known, but Quentin's Theme.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm Kenneth. I remember it well because I remember watching Dark Shadows, and I remember it was, but you know what? The song I remember well, but who did it?
Yeah, the Charles Randolph Green Sounds, and Green was G-R-E-A-N.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You'll know number 14, though. That was Poke Seledene.
Oh, yeah.
Gator's Got Your Granny.
Oh, gosh. Oh, God. Why am I still? All right. Poke Seledene. It wasn't Wilson Pickett.
No. It was on Monument.
No.
Billy Swan produced it.
Oh, Poke Saturday. I'm glad I got those first ones.
Yes.
Once I got past 10 or 11, I started, who did that? Well, I love the song, and I remember it well. Who did it?
Tony Joe White.
I wouldn't have got it, Raleigh. Okay. I wouldn't have got that one.
Well, and number 15 was Color Him Father.
And I know that song, but I don't know who did it.
That would
I'm
be the,
pick a different year next time.
That'd be the Winstons. Well, no, you knew the top 10, which is pretty darn good, Eric. Hang on, you're a winner.
Well, thank you.
Don't go away.
Thank you, Raleigh.
All right, okay. Good deal. Yes, he absolutely aced the top 10 there with a lot of lousy records to do. Well, yeah, Neil Diamond, all right. 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. Well, we're going to do some lyrics in a little while with Fran and Austin, 1969. Wow, we're out there being brave. All right. So Lisa in Dundee wants 1960s movies. So Lisa, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh. How are you today?
All right. How about yourself?
I'm just fine.
All right. There were two movies, two, count them, two,
that
were delayed in opening in the theaters. One was going to open at the end of November of 63, and the other in December of 63, delayed because of the Kennedy assassination. Name either one of them.
Wow, that's a good question.
And it's a damn good
thing. And it's two different movies.
Oh, two completely different movies, but it's a damn good thing they delayed these.
Oh, boy. So, let's see, 63?
Yep.
And something political? No, nothing's coming to my mind.
Well, the first one was Stanley Kubrick, Dr. Strangelove.
Oh.
And the worst part about Dr. Strangelove, of course it was about politicians and all that kind of stuff, was there was a line of dialogue where they talked about having a fun time in Dallas.
Oh, dear.
Yes, exactly. The other one that was delayed in December of 63 was 7 Days in May.
Oh.
And that was based on a novel of the same name that was published the year before. But many of the characters, based on real people, were Kennedy's harshest critics. So, like General Edwin Walker. And so they delayed that one till February of 64.
Lord.
Yeah.
Well, two more I can add to my queue because I haven't seen either one of those.
Oh,
of course,
well,
I've heard of them, but
yeah,
I haven't seen them.
Dr. Strangelove is a classic.
Yes, yeah. You know, I've never even seen the Orson Welles one. That's such a classic.
A Rosebud thing with Rosebud.
Rosebud,
in it.
Yeah. I mean, I know that, yeah. What's that one called? Oh, Citizen Kane.
Right, yeah. I have seen that.
I haven't seen that one either. So.
And, you know, every
and what was the name of the one that used the horror movie that you saw?
Dr. Terror's House of Horrors.
Oh, because, you know, I just... added a new streaming channel. It's called The Horror Drive-In.
Oh, you got to look. Dr. Terror's
and it's
House
there.
Of...
It's there. Oh, and I thought that was the name of it. And I've been watching, I just watched Circus of Horrors, which has that song running through it.
Yes,
know?
Right.
I thought that might be the one that you were talking about, Doctor.
No, no. That song, yeah, Gary Mills in England, but in America, Gary Miles, and that really is Bud's Case and Look for a Star.
Yes. That's one of my favorite horror movies. But then I saw this one.
Oh, yeah.
It was Dr.
Terror's House of Horrors.
House of Horrors.
Oh, you got to see it. It's just the absolute
best. I'm
going
to watch it.
You will.
Watch it.
So,
perfect.
Yeah. And you'll have to check out Dr. Strangelove at some point as well. I have not seen it, but every time I see the name Stanley Kubrick, I go into shudders because in, this is horrible to admit, 1971, I was doing promotion for a radio station, and I was asked if I wanted to give away tickets to a movie, and I said, sure, you know what? And so the name of the movie was Clockwork Orange. I figured it was a kid's movie. So I had parents upset. You have no idea how upset. But
one I haven't seen.
Yeah,
isn't
well,
that amazing?
It isn't a kid's
movie. I've seen
movie.
Some really obscure old 40s and 30s movies, but
Yeah.
None of those kind.
Well, I never saw the movie. I did see the promos. Someone even said, didn't you watch the promos first? Like, no. But, yeah, so, yeah. Oh, well. All right. Oh, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks,
Lisa.
A lot, Raleigh.
Appreciate it.
Talk to you next week.
All right. So, yeah, just see Stanley Kubrick. You're like, oh, God, no. 888-876-5593 would be 8888. Raleigh. And let me say goodbye to Lisa here and drop that line, which makes a line available for you. So if you've been getting busy signals, now's the time to call 888-876-5593. We'll pick it up there on WGN Radio.
You're a thousand miles away, but I still have your love to remember you by. My darling, dry your eyes. Daddy's coming home soon. Oh, on my knees every day, all I do is pray, baby, just. Yeah, baby, but oh, it's lasted so long, baby, and now I find myself wanting, yeah, darling, to marry you and take you home, oh, 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 'cause of you.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. All right, so there's your bumper stumper. We'll check out the news. We're going to get to David, who's a first-time caller in Wheaton. He's got a guess on our trivia question. All right, Chuck in Kentucky knows one of our previous bumpers, and soon there'll be a line available for you as well, too, on WGN Radio.
For goodness sake. Shake, shake with all of your might, and then you shake. Yeah, you shake.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. All right, who is it? How does it fit our theme? Yeah. Worse than having it be a quasi-hit in America was the fact that countless British invasion groups redid it as well. Truly painful. You know, these swinging blue jeans come to mind. So, 888-876-5593, yet another bumper stumper. And, of course, we have a trivia question. And it's a fine trivia question, too. And that is, sales of this have been used for centuries, but it was in the 1930s that it was first sold in what was then considered to be a thoroughly novel way. Today, it's more commonly sold that way than any other way. But there's a hearty debate on whether it's the best way to sell it. What is it? Kind of a two-parter. What is it, and how is it sold? And David is a first-time caller, and he's in Wheaton, so welcome to WGN Radio.
Thanks for taking my call, Raleigh.
Glad you did.
I have a question for you first. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been listening to you for quite a while. Obviously, I'm a first-time caller, but in all the time I've been listening, I absolutely marvel at the amount of information that you're able to recall at the snap of a finger with regards to recording artists, producers, record titles, dates, and all of that. Do you have a photographic memory of sorts?
You know, I don't. If some people have accused me of that. I don't think so. I think
it's not an accusation. It's a marvel.
No, I know. But I just say it that way. No, I think that, you know, most of the reason I remember it is because a lot of this intersected with things that I was doing in my life at the time. So I lived it. And you don't forget the things you have firsthand experience with, you know, like producers or record labels or things like that.
Well, I'm actually in awe of that. It's an old-fashioned saying, you'll forget more than I will ever know, thanks to Louis Armstrong there.
Yeah,
but,
well...
So I marvel at that. So I just need to get that in there. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm delighted you called. So what do you think?
Well, as I recall, I don't know about all the parts of this. I was surprised about when you recalled about 1930s, because I thought it was much more recent than that. But over the centuries, I'm not a drinker, but it seems to me that wine has been sold in bottles for centuries. And I thought it was more recent than 1930s that it's been sold in a box. That's my my answer. Now, wine has been sold in bottles for centuries, but it's a more recent phenomenon that it's sold more recently in a box form.
Yeah, it's a great answer because you're absolutely right. By the way, it was sold in the 30s in boxes in Australia, but nobody patented it until 1964. And that's when some...
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah, that's why some guy in South Australia patented it in 1964 and it was a, you know, polyethylene bladder in a corrugated box. But
yes.
Believe me, that's not the biggest way wine is sold today. So that part of the question would knock it out. But that's a great answer because you're absolutely right. It was, and it was the 30s, but 64, and you know, an enterprising winemaker in South Australia said, I'm going to patent this, and he did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for taking my call.
I hope you will again.
I will too. Thank
okay,
you.
Thanks. Appreciate it. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. All right. So now we have Chuck in Kentucky who knows his bumpers. What'd you hear, Chuck? Chuck, don't go away. He went away. Oh, no. And he knew, too. He was right about one of them. And, yeah, Babalu's wedding day. All right. Well, Chuck, thanks for holding on as long as you did, and I hope you'll call back because you're absolutely right, 100% right. So we'll do some lyrics. Fran is in Austin. How's it going, Fran?
Going okay. I got my kidney stone blasted today. So.
Now tell me, okay, and you're talking to me, so it went well.
Yeah. Mainly I was just, really, at first it was painful, but after the drugs wore off and I took a nap and I got up and I'm not feeling too bad. I'm feeling a little spacey, but, you know.
Well, that's the anesthesia, of course. But
do
they think that they were successful?
I did not get a chance to. The only thing they talked to me about was these instructions that are crazy. I'll talk about that maybe tomorrow.
Okay, good, yeah.
Yeah, because it's trivia night, and I don't want to talk all that.
Right, but that'll be fun. Yeah, I know.
I came through it, you know, it's no big deal so far.
Good, excellent. Well, that's the best news of all, and now you also don't have that over your head. Well, hopefully they were totally successful.
Yeah, and I hope that actually does address the side pain issues I've been having.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Right. And it may not, but we'll keep our fingers crossed that it will. And if it doesn't, well, we'll just soldier on to find out what the heck's doing it.
Exactly.
All right. So you want 1969 lyrics.
Yeah, I decided to go up a little ways. I'm on my third strike now. I hope I get this one right.
Oh, you will. You absolutely will. Was I wrong to work nights to try and build a good life?
Oh,
Yeah, see, you know this.
Yeah. Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Oh, take a letter, Maria.
Of course, R.B. Greaves. We have a winner. I was going to say, now, come on. There are no other songs you can think of that have that as a theme.
Yeah.
Yes, all work and no play has just cost me a wife. Yes, all right.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, well, you are a winner. Good deal. Well, it caps off a good day all the way around, and you're sounding fine, so I'm thrilled about that.
Yeah, not too bad.
All right, well, hang on. Don't go away, and we'll confirm that address. But Fran is absolutely right. Take a letter, Maria. That's right. Address it to my life. wife. Send a copy to my lawyer. Got to have a new life. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And we're going to talk to Leah and her MGM Musicals. How's it going, Leah?
Hi, how's it going with you?
Oh, I can't complain. So
I wanted, before we get to my question, I just wanted to say to Lisa, who said she hadn't seen Citizen Kane, don't bother. It's way overrated. It's like you watch it and you go, why is this film a classic? You have no idea.
Well, yeah, it's a classic because of the time it was made and produced. That's the only reason.
You just watch it and you're like, what? What about this film is a classic? There's no idea.
Well, we'll stick with Broadway musicals.
Okay.
And last week we asked you about the first one, which was The Melody Maker in 1929. So, of course, I've got to go to the end of the spectrum. What was the last one?
Oh, geez. Which was what year?
Well, it would have been 58, but the musical era was 1929 to 1958. So basically roughly 30 years.
I'm going to say Paint Your Wagon.
Nope. Take another guess. And this, by the way, is the definitive last one. It's not a debate. And you know,
it's
this.
Not a debate.
No, it's not. You know this musical. It's not one of these weird things, you know.
It's not The Sound of Music.
Nope. Nope, it's
My Fair Lady?
Nope.
No, I don't know.
Gigi.
Ugh.
Yeah. Maurice Chevalier and Louis Jordan and Leslie Caron and Vincent Minnelli directed it and won 9 Academy Awards, including the Best Picture, and had several hit songs. Gigi.
Hmm.
Now you know.
Okay.
Yeah, that was it. That was the curtain call for MGM musicals, and they went out in a big way, because that was just a huge MGM musical. But I will say that it wouldn't be on your list of classics. Probably it wouldn't be up there with Easter Parade and Showboat, but it certainly was.
No, it wouldn't.
But it was the big finisher, and it was, like I say, 9 Academy Awards. And great at the box office, too, so Gigi.
Wow. And Leslie Caron is still around, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, wow. Amazing.
Now
you
know.
All right, well, learn something new every time I listen to you, Raleigh.
Always good to talk to you. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
all right,
Raleigh.
So,
bye.
888-876-5593. As I say, sales of this have been huge for centuries. You know, this is not a new product, but it was the 1930s when it was first sold in what was then a novel way, thoroughly novel. Well, today, it's more commonly sold that way than any other way. But there's a hearty debate on whether it's the best way to sell it. So I want to know what was sold and how was it sold. 888-876-5593. We will talk to Mark and Aurora. He wants charts from 1968. All right. James on the South Side, back to World War II. John and Covington, 60s TV. And hopefully you too. If you know my bumper stumpers, that's great. You'll hear another one in moments. And if you got a guess on my question, that's fine too. Otherwise, pick your own category. You know something about something. Everybody does. Just pick out your category. We'll find a question for you right here on WGN Radio.
So I walk a little too fast, and I drive a little too fast, and I'm reckless, it's true, but what else can I do at the end of a love affair? So I talk a little too much, and I joke a little too much, and my voice is too loud when I'm out in a crowd, so that people are apt to stare. Do they know, do they care that it's only that I'm lonely and low as can be, and the smile on my face isn't really a smile at all? So
I smoke a little too much, and I joke, yeah, a little too much. And the tunes I request are not always the best, but the ones where the trumpets blare. So I go at a maddening pace and pretend that it's taking her place. But what else can I do at the end of a love affair? It's only
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and it's Monday Night Trivia. So if you're listening on Friday night, please sit back, relax, enjoy the show, but don't call. If it's Monday night, however, well, hopefully there will be a line available for you soon. Not true at the moment, but we have more than an hour to go, so there will be. All right, there's your latest in Bumper Stumpers. What does it have to do with all the rest of our Bumper Stumpers? And, gee, we almost got a winner there on one of them, but our Kentucky caller, I think it was Chuck in Kentucky, gave up. All right, so you can either guess a bumper, you can work on my question, which is kind of out there. You can have your own category, and we prove that all the time. But as for my question, sales of this have been huge for centuries, but it was in the 1930s that it was first sold in what was then considered to be a thoroughly novel way. Today, it's more commonly sold this way than any other way, but there's a hearty debate over whether that's the best way to sell it. So it's a two-parter, what was sold and how was it sold. You'll win for either half of those. All right, so we talked to Leah, so we can say goodbye to Leah. And that leaves a line available for you, by the way, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, right now. All right, JT and Aurora, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh, how you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm okay. I got an idea of what you're talking about tonight. It's been sold for centuries. And in the 1930s, they started packaging it differently.
Yeah.
And it's the way it's sold today.
Yeah.
I'm saying fish.
What a nice answer. It's not right, but it's a nice answer.
All right.
Well, but thanks for trying. I appreciate
for
it.
Sure.
All right. Good deal. Thanks. So
I'll be back. Bye.
I hope so. I'm going to count on that. So 888-876-5593. No fish. So Paul in Buffalo Grove is going to take a guess. What do you think, Paul?
I'm thinking the first time beer was sold in cans instead of glass bottles.
You're absolutely right.
Oh, yeah.
And do you know why you're right?
Because it's true.
Well, yeah, it is true. But why wasn't it sold in the 1800s that way?
Well, I probably wouldn't have had the mechanics to do it or the steel for the cans or...
Well, they would have had all that, but they wouldn't have had the lining that would make it viable that the beer wouldn't taste weird. And it was Gottfried Kruger in 1935 in Newark that used this new lining. And it worked. And, of course, at the time, you know, people thought, well, this is just terrible. And, of course, to a degree, I guess that debate continues to this day. But what I found interesting was that the craft beers for years were, you know, bottle only. And now, just this year, craft beers... Interestingly, cans have taken over. So I guess cans.
Well, it's kind of like the same thing with wine using screw tops now instead of corks.
Yeah, see, I've never had beer and I've never had wine, so I don't know. You know, vintage to me is making sure it's Mexican Coke. So that's all I know. But yeah, you're absolutely right. So we have a winner.
All right.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away.
Okay.
So, Paul is absolutely right in Buffalo Grove. It was beer in cans. Yeah, not until the 1930s. And it was technology that allowed it to change. And what's interesting is that most people would say, oh, but it tastes better in bottles. But the reality in actual tests of this, and not just taste tests, but I don't know how you would quantify it, but they did. It turns out that the right kind of can will cause the beer to have more of its original, you know, brewed flavor than the glass bottle. So it is the optimal way to sell it, which I find fascinating. Have no idea what it might taste like, but yeah. Closest I get to that was I actually went to, in Waco, I went to the Dr. Pepper factory when a friend wanted a tour, and I said, all right, because I'd pass by it all the time going from Dallas to Austin. Let's stop, let's go. And I'll tell you what, I never, ever liked Dr. Pepper, but man, when they had it on tap at the end of the tour and they poured it, you know, and all that, it was just the best tasting thing. I'm like, why the hell does it taste like this in the cans? I don't know. But yeah, it was the hit of the tour. All right, so 888-876-5593. We got a couple hours left to go, and actually, that's not true. We got 1 hour left to go, and we will on WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. Another hour of Monday Night Trivia. So if it's Friday night, sit back, relax, enjoy the show. But if it's Monday night, I hope you'll call 888-876-5593-8888. Riley, you know, I've been remiss. I should have come up with another question for you. By the way, that was our bumper stumper. I want to know who that was, and don't say Thurston Harris. Obviously, it was not the Thurston Harris version of that, and that wouldn't have fit the theme anyway, but this one did, so who is it? All right. Oh, Julie from Georgia's calling. All right. Now, Julie writes occasionally, but I think this might be a first, so Julie, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thanks, Raleigh. Yeah, I got it wrong. I just heard you say that is not Thurston Harris.
Oh, it absolutely is not. And I have on my list, I got a phone call from you that you want to hear the Thurston Harris version, which was the hit version,
yes.
And I will play that for you tomorrow night.
Okie dokie. Good deal. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
You betcha. Thank you for being there. Thanks for being in the world.
Appreciate that. Talk to you soon, I hope.
Great.
All right,
okay.
Thanks.
Sure will. Thank you, Em.
So, yes, Julie had requested a little bit of Pretty One. And actually, I got her request after I had slated this, and I slated this. It's a well-known artist, not well-known for that song, obviously, but certainly fits within our theme. And you 100% know this artist. You just don't know him for a little bit of Pretty One. But, Thurston Harris, of course, sounds a lot different. And we'll try to play Julie Had Never Heard the Thurston Harris. And, of course, a little bit of Pretty One by him, well, that is the biggest hit. So we might have to play a few Thurston Harris records for Julie. But in the meantime, John in Covington wants his 60s TVs. All right, John, welcome back. Let's get my twanger here to WGN Radio. How's it going? Are you with us, John? Oh, no, we've lost John from Covington. He wanted 60s television. I even picked out a question. Oh, well. So there's always next week or maybe later if he's so inclined. And apologies to those of you who wait. But I'll tell you right now, we have lines available. Yeah, a few of them. So if you know the bumper stumpers or if you have an idea about them, well, what question, Raleigh? Why don't you ask a question? All right, well, I guess I'd better. And so let's see what we can do with the with the question. All right. So the average American resident does this 111 times a year, while the average Japanese resident does it only 46 times a year, less than anywhere else on the globe. Now, China residents, on the other hand, do it more frequently, 132 times a year, which is more than all but two countries. What are they doing? 888-876-5593. 888-666-8888. Raleigh. All right, James on the south side. What's happening tonight, James?
I'm hanging in here. How are you?
Can't complain.
How are you? Okay. Oh, I was, you were thinking about Stanley Kubrick. Oh, I've seen most of his movies. I've enjoyed every one of them.
Well, good.
Especially a few of them, maybe a little too much. So Full Metal Jacket, Dr. Strangelove, A Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, The Shining.
Well, yes. Yes.
Okay, let's just say Jack Nicholson, basically, let's just say he definitely, played it to the hill.
Yes, I was going to say, in the basement of that hotel in Estes Park, they have all the still shots from the filming. And so I thought, well, I have to go see if I'm going to be haunted. So I actually spent a night there. Not a thing. So.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that. Okay.
Yeah, Stanley. Now, they do have the topiary at the Hotel Stanley, but nothing moved. And nothing happened in any of the rooms either. But they're active hotel, in fact, and it wasn't a bad place. I know they've renovated since I was there. Now, I'm not sure how the renovations have done with the ghosts, but they assured me I'd have ghosts, and I had absolutely no ghosts. Now, I don't know with the renovations if they are still assuming that you can have them. But, yes, the Stanley.
Yes. Of course, I'd be remiss to forget about Paths of Glory with Kirk Douglas. Mm. That was another one. That was one of, I think, Kubrick's earliest ones. The only problem for Kubrick was his movies were always every 7 years he came out. So obviously this meant that at some point, Father Time was going to catch up with them.
That's obviously he was doing well.
Wide shut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's doing very well. Well, I mean, okay. If you only have to make a movie every 7 years, you're doing well.
Yeah. And he was kind of an exacting sort. So that had something to do with it, too. Full Metal Jacket, he had somebody else in line for the drill sergeant.
Mm.
But what happened was the guy he had hired, Arlie Ermey, was only there to basically teach the guy who was going to be the drill sergeant how to do this. But he came so prepared and just kept on, and that at some point, Stanley Kubrick just simply said, that's the man.
All right. Are you ready for your World War II question?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
We're going to talk about Chiang Kai-shek for a moment. He believed that this enemy was a greater threat than the Japanese. What enemy?
Mao and the communists.
Absolutely right, the communists. That's 100% right. And I don't know what to say. The American liaison was Stilwell, and he disliked Chiang anyway, so he was irritated saying that the guy didn't have the right priorities, but I think ultimately history would show that, yeah, he actually did.
Unfortunately, yeah, okay, basically, as we could say, who knows? But my opinion, if the nationalists and the Japanese had combined forces on the communists, that might have been an interesting twist in history.
I agree. All right. Well, as usual, you're a winner. Hang on. Don't go away.
Okay.
All right. So James aces it again. He knows his World War II. And the way it's going lately, I think soon we will be talking about World War III. All right. So what can I tell you? We'll avoid that that topic on the air here as we try to be a respite from the day's events. But I don't know. 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Mark from Aurora. He wants charts 1968 this week. We can do that. Now, I asked you another question. I said I got to come up with another question, but now I realize I asked you another question. I've already forgotten what it was. It's come to that. I'll figure it out and give you another bumper stumper coming up in moments on WGN Radio.
To work when I could groove is a drag. This rut I'm in can't be the right thing. I'm alone and so blue. What can I do? I want you here in my arms, holding you, feeling your charm. I thought my dream was hopelessly dead. My dream came true the day that we met. Held you so close, looked in your eyes, eyes that were burning with fire, soft lips that were warm with desire. I kissed you only yesterday, and passion filled our hearts for the day. If you leave me, I'll die. The place of the sun. If we could be forever alone, to live together from this moment on. No routine, that's my dream.
Yes, that's my dream. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, who are they? And what do they have in common with everybody else we played tonight? 1968 on Key Lock. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we got Rick, and I don't know where Rick is. We're gonna find out. He's going to tell us right now. So, Rick, where are you?
Southwest suburbs of Chicago.
All right, I'll take it. Good deal. What'd you hear, you know?
Little Bitty Pretty One, I'm going to go with Bobby Day.
No, he did it, that's for sure, but that's not it. Not by a long shot. You're at the wrong coast right now.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Raleigh.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. So, and that I could see why he'd say that because, of course, Bobby Day did, in fact, do it. But no, we're talking East Coast for this version. All right. So, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, I've got two more bumper stumpers. Nobody's ventured a guess on the theme as yet. And this theme was actually courtesy of John, who screens your calls, because I was, as usual, belly aching over the weekend. I don't know what I'm going to do for a theme. You know, that that mantra. And he said, well, why not? And I thought, you know, you're on to something. So we did. All right. So with that in mind, let's do charts now with Mark in Aurora. How's it going, Mark?
It's going just fine. And I was out for a couple weeks ago with a friend who belongs to a brewery club, and he's taken to taking me along lately, and he wants to do this once a month. And one of the beers that we tried that we both liked was something called Bourbon Bucket Brewed. That means that it's brewed in a bucket that was stored, that stored bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a rich beer.
Mm.
It is a craft brew, and it comes in cans.
Yeah.
And
interesting.
And the cans have plastic labels molded around them.
Interesting. Yeah, well,
yeah.
Apparently that's a lot of those craft beers and microbreweries, which were until recently all about glass. Now they're saying, you know, there's something to these cans.
Well, this beer is so rich that I've only wanted a third to a half a can at a time.
Uh-huh.
both the flavor and the alcohol content seem to be, you know, higher than your average beer.
Uh-huh.
It's good, but you just don't want to drink a whole can of it at once.
Mm.
Or at least I don't.
Mm. Like I say, I'm ill-equipped to comment since I've never tried it and don't have any desire to.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, when he and I do this, we try 6 wines at a time.
Oh, God.
And they're samples, but one of the first rules I learned is that you don't want to sip them too fast.
I would think that probably is true. But no, I've never developed that adult palate, and none of those adult beverages are going to be like Mexican Coke, so forget it.
Yeah, well, I can't say that I really have the most refined palate there is, but it's just been an interesting experience.
Yeah, I bet you meet a lot of interesting people.
Yeah, mostly the staff of the bar, but
yeah, that's fine.
That's better than nothing,
right? They got stories.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do. All right, so we're gonna do the week of it. Actually, it's the week of October 19th, 1968. Are you ready?
Ready as I'll ever be.
All right, number one. Well, you'll know them. Number one, Hey Jude.
The Beatles.
Number two, Fire.
Oh, The Crazy World of Arthur Brown.
Absolutely. I am the God of Hell's Fire, and I bring you. I love the
I
way.
I am the God of Hell's Fire, and I bring you fire.
Yeah, but see, the best part about that was the pause between bring you, because I could always stop the card and read the weather. So, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
It just seemed appropriate somehow. Number three.
Yeah.
Little Green Apples.
Oh, Old C. Smith.
Yeah, number four, Harper Valley.
I still love that song.
Yeah, it's
go
a good song. Harper Valley, PTA, number four.
Jeannie C. Riley.
Yeah, number five, Girl Watcher.
Oh, The Occasion.
Yes. Number six, Midnight Confessions.
The Grassroots.
Number seven, My Special Angel. Why'd they have to go ruin a good song?
Oh, The Letterman.
No, it's worse than that.
Oh, The Vogue?
Yes. Number eight.
Okay.
I Gotta Get a Message to You.
The Bee Gees.
Yes. Number nine.
In their ballad phase.
Right. Yes. Right. In their funeral dirge phase. Number nine. Over You. Why am I losing sleep over you?
Now, maybe this is the Letterman.
No. No, it actually was not a bad act all the way around, truth be known. And I thought this was one of the better
ones. I can hear it in my head.
Yeah, it was on Columbia. Yeah, and...
I know it's not the New Colony 6.
No, it's
I'm gonna kick myself when you tell me.
You really are. Gary Puckett and the Union Gap.
Oh, that Over You.
Yes, Why Am I Losing Sleep Over You?
There's another Over You. Oh, yeah, I know the Gary Puckett song.
Well, that's
sure
it.
I do.
The other Over You is Aaron Neville, and it's The Wrong Years. All right.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Number 10, Say It Out Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud.
I don't know.
James Brown.
Oh, okay. I don't think it was ever played in Buffalo, or I never heard it.
No,
there.
it was played everywhere, truly. But in any event, you got 80%, and that's a win, so you're a winner.
Okay. All right.
Well, hang on. Don't go away. All right. So there you are. John will confirm the address. We'll talk to Frank from Northlake. He thinks he knows the bumper theme. All right, you're getting another bumper in moments, but right now you're getting the news right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, bumper stumpers, there you go. Who is that? And what's he have in common with everything else we've been playing? So that's your question. Now, I did remember what question I asked you on trivia. So here we go. The average American resident does this 111 times a year, while the average Japanese resident only does it 46 times a year, less than anywhere else. Chinese residents, on the other hand, do it more frequently, 132 times a year, which is more than all but two countries worldwide. What are they doing? 888-876-5593. And if you don't like my questions and you don't know my bumpers, you can have your own category. And that can be absolutely anything, as we prove regularly. But taking a guess on our bumper theme, we have Frank in Northlake. How's it going, Frank?
Oh, pretty good. Could be better. I was going to take a guess at each one of those.
Okay.
One guess on each one.
Okay.
What they have in common, you said?
Uh-huh.
I think could be that they're all covers.
Nope.
And also, maybe that's the fifth dimension.
Nope.
What was the other one? Heck. No.
It's a nice guess, though, all covered. I kind of like that guess. It has nothing to do with it, but some of those are covers, no doubt about it, but no.
Well, and the one about what the Chinese do, you know, around the world.
Right.
Wash their hair.
No.
Wash their hair.
No, but that's nice.
Boy.
That's a swell guess. All right. So I appreciate the call, as always. Thank you.
Okay, Raleigh, thank you.
All right. Hope to talk to you soon.
Yes, me too.
Okay, so 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. It's interesting. An hour ago, lines just completely packed. It was almost impossible to get in, and I apologize for that. Now, we've got about 15 minutes of showtime left and wide open. So that's where you come in. You can give us a call at 888-876-5593. If not, I'm going to reveal the theme, and I'll have one more bumper stumper that maybe will help you. I'm not sure, but I'll let you know either way. But my question: the average American does it 111 times a year. The average Japanese resident only 46 times a year. The Chinese, on the other hand, do it a lot more frequently than that, 132 times a year, which is more than all but two countries. What are they doing? 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. We're live tomorrow night and Wednesday night, right at 10 o'clock Central, but Thursday night, no show. That's right. You will not hear me. You will hear the Blackhawks. So no Thursday show. The following week on the 24th, right after Blackhawks hockey. So I assume that Tuesday the 24th will be a little late. Now, Monday the 30th, I'm not sure exactly what time, right after Blackhawks, but I'm thinking it's going to be a very short show. We'll see. But the other thing is that Tuesday, October 31st, I'm gone entirely because you will have the delight of hearing radio drama. That's right. So I think it's Carl Amari in action. So whatever it is, it's for Halloween. We will still open the polls, at least by email, on the 31st for the annual poll, the world's worst hit records. And we'll do that through the night before Thanksgiving. So that's through the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And then on Thanksgiving night, we'll tally them all up and play them live for you. So that's right. While you're eating turkey, you can be hearing turkeys. Your choosing, of course, though. So that's how that will work out. I think that's the rest of the month schedule as far as I know. All right, so 888-876-5593. Sherry is in Naperville. So, Sherry, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I only had one guess at first, and now I have a few more dumber ones. So
okay.
But my best guess is fill up your car or vehicle with gasoline?
Nope.
Oh, man, because I'm trying to divide how many days in a year, how many work days in a year. Do laundry, a load of laundry?
Nope.
Take out or eat out?
Nope.
Use flatware while you're eating?
No, I would think most people in America do that every night, but no.
Well, unless you're eating a Big Mac, you really don't need any.
Well, I guess there is that.
And I was thinking chopsticks. I know that they use chopsticks in Japan more. Oh, rats. Once a week for Japan.
Yeah, it's less than once a week, 46 times a year.
Yeah, I know. Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, boy. Anything, David? He shakes his head, grinning. No way.
Well, if you think of something else.
Is it running the dishwasher?
No. That assumes they have a dishwasher.
I know. I'm just trying to figure out things that, you know, people that have big families would do more often on average, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, I don't know. Eat pizza?
No.
Okay, that's it.
All right, thanks for calling.
Everybody else think of stuff.
Okay, good. Okay. Appreciate the call. Thanks, Sherry. All right, so 888-876-5593. We're going to get some guesses from JT in a moment, and you're going to hear your final bumper stumper coming up in about 2 minutes right here on WGN Radio.
If it takes me all of my life,
I'm gonna fight her.
Even though it takes a while, I'll give her all the things I know the world has to give. And all I know is I need her. If it takes me all of my life,
I'm gonna fight her.
I'm gonna have her by my side. Every day I see the vision of that girl. She's a one that I good for nobody. They keep putting me down. Why can't they leave me alone? 'Cause I've been thinking, it looks like I'm looking for someone I can call my own.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. All right, so who are they? That's our last bumper stumper. And, I was just thinking, man, they're all gone now. And then I thought, no, the theme is not that they're only dead people. So some of them are absolutely alive. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, and so our question, and if you don't get it here, it'll be our straggler that will remain for next Monday night. And that's the average American resident does this 111 times a year, while the average Japanese resident does it 46 times a year, less than anywhere else in the world. Chinese residents, on the other hand, do it more frequently, 132 times a year, which is more than all but two countries. So what are they doing? 888-876-5593. JT and Aurora, what do you think?
I'm giving a wild guess of grooming their hair.
No.
No. Okay. That's it.
All right. Thanks for trying. I appreciate it.
Sure.
All right. So there you have the question if you want it. And bumper stumpers, I think probably it's time we talk about them because no one has gotten the theme. But first, let me tell you who they all are. And then maybe the theme will be apparent. If not, I'll just spit it out. All right, of course, the only one that was gotten was the first one, question mark in the Mysterians, I Need Somebody, 1966 on Cameo. The second one was the Crests. Yeah, you know Johnny Maestro's group, Strange Love, 1958 on Coed. It was unreleased, but they recorded it for Coed in 58, and then it came out on, you know, CD compilations later. Cannibal and the Headhunters did Please Baby Please, 1966 on Rampart. The Eternals, Babalu's Wedding Day, 1959 on Hollywood. Was Reuben and the Jets, 1,000 Miles Away and You Send Me. Chan Romero did Hippie Hippie Shake, sorry to say. Chris Montez did End of a Love Affair. And that was on A&M, 1967. Shan was on Delphi in 1959, and Reuben and the Jets were on Mercury in 1973. Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, it was their version of Libby Pretty One, 1960 on Roulette. Sonny and the Sunliners doing My Dream, 1968 on Keylock. Joe Batan, Under the Street Lamp, 1969 on Uptight. And Tierra did Gonna Find Her, 1981 on Boardwalk. All right, so there they all are. Now, so you're talking about Question Mark and the Crests and the Eternals and everybody else here. What do they all have in common? Well, let's see. Valerie wants a guess. All right, let's see what Valerie thinks. All right, Valerie, with that in mind, what do you think the theme is?
In the middle of the last song, my brain went, it sounds like this TV show. So, I'm thinking these were the songs that inspired the TV show Love American Style.
No, it was not at all.
Ah, well, that was just my off-the-cuff fly going,
All right. Well, you're about to find out.
Okay, thanks, darling.
Appreciate it. All right, so here is the deal. Everything we played in the group was at least one Hispanic member. In some cases, all Hispanic members, like Question Mark and the Mysterians, I Need Somebody on Cameo, their first single. The whole group, including leader Rudy Martinez, were of Mexican descent. They were from Saginaw, Michigan. The Crests, now you're saying, wait a minute, Johnny Maestro and the Crests? Well, Harold Torres was an original Crest, and he is of Puerto Rican descent in New York. Cannibal and the Headhunters, of course, Mexican-American group from East Los Angeles. The Eternals, Babalu's Wedding Day. All of the Eternals, all of them were of Puerto Rican heritage from New York City, every one of them. So Babalu's Wedding Day, the first doo-wop group of all Puerto Rican descent. Reuben and the Jets. Now, originally that name was used by Frank Zappa, but then he gave it to Ruben Guevara, who was well-known in the Mexican-American community of East Los Angeles. And so this is from the Reuben and the Jets album, Con Safos. And by the way, Con Safos, if you're wondering, if you ever see that on graffiti, it means with respect and basically don't cover this up. And so Zappa encouraged Ruben Guevara to take over the group, and he did. So that was a combination of 1,000 Miles and You Send Me on their 1973 album, Con Safos. Chan Romero, Hippie Hippie Shake, 1959 on Delphi. And Chan was the guy that Bob Keane, owner of Delphi Records, after the horrible death of Richie Valens in that plane crash, was looking for another Hispanic. And, you know, that's probably never the best way to find a great recording star. Don't worry about their heritage so much as their sound. But he found Chan Romero in Montana. All right, so he was looking, obviously. And actually, Chan, his father was part Spanish, also part Apache, and his mother was part Mexican, part Cherokee. And so then Chris Montez, the guy who did Let's Dance on Monogram in the early 60s, well, End of a Love Affair, 1967 on A&M. It was from the Foolin' Around LP. That was where they were hell-bent at A&M to turn him into a pop standard singer. And, of course, he was a Mexican-American from Los Angeles. Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers did Libby Pretty One. Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, and you're saying they are Hispanic heritage? Well, two members were of Puerto Rican descent, and that would be Herman Santiago and Joe Negroni, both of whom, obviously, New York singers, and both of whom hailed from Puerto Rican families. Sonny and the Sunliners did My Dream, and that's about as Mexican-American as you get, obviously San Antonio-based group. It was Joe Batan doing Under the Street Lamp, a remake of the Exits version, and Joe Batan did it in 1969 on Uptight. Most of his stuff was on Fania, but that was on Uptight. And now this is interesting. And I was saying to John, I don't know if I should include him. Now, Joe Batan led a Puerto Rican street gang and went to jail for it. I mean, it was not good. But when you look at his ethnic heritage, I'm not sure you're going to find a Puerto Rican among the group. His father was primarily Filipino and his mother primarily African-American. He, in part, coined the phrase salsol and was part of that label at first. And like I say, he was a Fania mainstay along with Ralphie Pagan. I almost played you some Ralphie Pagan, but then I realized as I was doing that I didn't like it or any of it. So, yeah, even his cover of Bread. The final was Sierra Gonna Do Gonna Find Her, 1981 on Boardwalk, and obviously East L.A. Mexican-American group Steve and Rudy Salas, both of them no longer with us. Rudy had died first, which was sudden and unexpected, and then Steve a couple of years ago as well. So all of the artists you heard had at least one Hispanic member, and some people are surprised when they find out that the Chris or Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers could boast that, but they could. All right, so in the waning moments, we have Barb, who is going to take a guess here on something or other. So, Barb, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, thank you. The question about Japanese in the United States,
yes.
And who does that more?
Yes.
Eat beef?
Oh, that's interesting.
Steak?
No, it's not. But a nice guess. Well thought out, just not right. But thanks for trying.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
See, now you're going to have another week to think about it. I don't know if JT is back or not. I see him on the screen, but it might have been my fault that I didn't remove him. So are you back, JT? No. Okay. So it's my fault. I should have cleared that line beforehand. But it's not like we don't have empty lines. We got 2 minutes of chat, and if you want the last word, that's fine. Otherwise, this becomes our straggler for next Monday. The average American resident does this 111 times a year. The average Japanese resident only does it 46 times a year, less than anywhere else. Chinese residents, on the other hand, do it more frequently, 132 times a year, more than all but two countries in the world. What are they doing? All right, so you can be thinking about that for the week, and then we will reconvene on trivia. So in the meantime, we'll 21 hours from now, we'll reconvene right here, and a number of things, as usual. Thank you to James for his 8 million stories, and yeah, it's just amazing. And one of them really caught my attention. Restaurant prices are going up higher than inflation would allow. Isn't that the truth? Yeah, I mean, I remember when Subway was like the low price leader and it was like $5. And now, my God. Yeah, I think John and I both had sandwiches there about a month ago, and I think it was like $39. Like, how is this even possible? So that, and also you heard about the Rite Aid bankruptcy today. But what is interesting is the massive pharmacist shortage across the country. Well, at least that's what they blamed it on when I went to get the prescription that they haven't had in for 8 weeks now. Yeah, fortunately, it's for John, but it's not anything that obviously would be life-threatening or he'd be past tense at this point. But well, try back tomorrow. Somebody will be in who knows more about this. I thought, gee, any of the pharmacists should know about how to fill a prescription. So we got a lot to talk about, but mostly we'll just have a good time. And so until then, we'll say that that's a wrap. We'll thank Adam for keeping us on the air. I'll thank John for screening the calls. Much appreciated. But above all, you, I thank for calling. Makes all the difference in the world. So let's do it tomorrow night. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.